Morning. Today's daf is Zvachim Sadi Aleph. We are on Sadi Amud Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah and Kedima, the Perek, 10th Perek, which today is the last full daf of the 10th Perek. Tomorrow, daf Sadi Beis finishes the 10th Perek and starts, obviously, the 11th. Our Perek has been dedicated to the topic of priority. How do I prioritize? How do I know which carbon goes first? There are two guiding principles. One, as we learned on the Mishnah back on Pei Tesem and Aleph. So one is an issue of Tadir and the frequency, whichever one is more frequent is going to have Kedima, it's going to go first. And the other issue is Kedusha, that which has more sanctity is going to go first. What happens when there are competing values of frequency versus sanctity? Stay tuned. That's going to come up in the course of today's daf. We start with the Mishnah now in Sadi Amud Beis. Kol HaChatos BaTorah, any Chatos in the Torah, Kodemus LaHashamos. Chatos comes in front of an Asham. So in other words, if there was an opportunity where a chatzos and asham were both waiting online to go to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, so the chatzos comes first. Chatzos comes first because it is just simply more. More of the carbon chatzos is going to go on the mizbeach. Remember, the chatzos has all four corners of the mizbeach covered. Meanwhile, the asham is only two of the four. So the chatzos is more. So therefore, the chatzos comes first. With one exception, one notable exception, says the Mishnah, chutz me asham mitzora. The asham that's brought by the mitzora is going to precede that of a chatzos mimneshu bal le al hakasher. And the reason why is because the asham mitzora is not just a carbon of kapar, but rather that which creates hechsher. It creates permissibility. Once the mitzora has finished bringing his karbanos at the end of his purification process, he can now go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can now eat karban, and as a result now of being mukshar, as a result of being now in a position of being able to go in the Beis HaMikdash and eat karban, so therefore this karban is going to take precedence. In other words, he needs it. He needs it in order to facilitate opportunities. The Mishnah continues, call Ashamash B'Torah Bayim B'nei Shtayim, just as a general rule, any of the Ashamas in the Torah. Right, the list of Ashamas in the Torah, they're a little bit scattered over the Torah in terms of when does a person bring a carbon Asham. But as a general rule, the Ashamas are coming when the animal is 2 years of age. When we talk about ages of an animal, so we're talking about within. So in other words, when we say a one-year-old, we mean from birth until the animal has hit its first birthday. When we say two, we mean anywhere between the animals one and two, right? And that's not how we communicate when we talk about our ages, if we're telling the truth. But in other words, but when it comes to an animal, so a two-year-old means anywhere between one to two. So b'ayim b'nei shtayim. Uvayim b'kesef shkalim. And also, when you buy carbon asham, we just talked about this the other day, so the Torah gives us a spending minimum. This is not true by any other carbon. By all of the carbonos in the Torah, so you spend whatever you can or whatever you don't have to. In other words, you buy the animal at whatever the cost is. But when it comes to a carbon ashram, the Torah, gzeres akasov, the Torah tells us that you have to spend two shkalim. So chutz me ashram nazir v'ashram et zorah she'en bayim b'nei sham ve'en bayim b'kesef shkalim. Once again, that's a general rule, but there are two notable exceptions. One notable exception is the ashram et zorah, which is Asham Mitzorah and Asham Nazir, where they come B'nei Shnasan, a year old, and also Ein Bayim B'Kesef Shkalim, and also there is no minimum spending for these particular Kabanos. And again, Gzeres HaKasuv, Rashi brings down the drashas. Take a look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now, in terms of why that should be. Kishem Shekodmim Ba'Karavasam, Kodmim Ba'Achilasam. Now, in this parak, we talked about precedence and priority in terms of offering them on the Mizbeach. But that continues even through the consumption as well. For the carbonos that are consumed, obviously we're not talking about carbonola over here. Carbonola is not consumed. It goes on the mizbech. But for the carbonos that are consumed, chatas, asham, toda, nazir, chatam, chatas, asham, toda, shlamim, bechor, meiser, etc. So just like we talk about prioritization in terms of offering them, we also mean prioritization in terms of eating. Shlamim shalamish v'shlamim shal yom. Now, the Mishnah tells us that there are going to be a couple of scenarios in which it'll be a tough call. A tough call, but the Mishnah is going to make the call. Let's say we have a second day shlamim and a first day shlamim. We know that by karmish shlamim, you have 2 days to eat the karmish shlamim. Today, the day that you shecht it and you offer it, and the following day as well. So let's say, on any given day in the Beis HaMikdash, or by the way, we're talking about Shlamim, so it could be anywhere in Yerushalayim. So you're sitting down and you have leftovers from yesterday's Shlamim, and you have fresh Shlamim for today. So this happens sometimes in my house as well. Do I go for the leftovers, or do I go for fresh? So, but over here, obviously, it's not the same. In other words, we're talking about karbanos. And take also this into consideration. For the second day shlamim, if it's not consumed by the end of today, so then it will become nosar. So on one hand, yes, the fresh shlamim of today is important, but at the same time, the second day shlamim, if we don't finish it today, it's going to be nosar. So, shlamim shalamish v'shlamim shal yom, shal amish kodmim l'shal yom. So the Mishnah over here makes the call. Second day shlamim should be consumed before day one shlamim, and again, the idea is, because if I don't finish the second day shlamim, it's going to become nosar. Shlamim shal amish chatas v'asham shal hayom. Here's now a tough call. Let's say I have second day shlamim and chatas asham. Now, obviously, the consumer, the chatas, and the asham are only kohanim in the azara, but still, the question's still on the table. So in other words, so they have in front of them either the opportunity to eat day two shlamim or first day chatas and asham. Now, first day chatas and asham, you only have one day to eat them. So they too, by the end of today, will become nosar. Not the end of the day, actually, to be more accurate. You have the day and the following night as well. But they're not the same as the first day shlamim. First day shlamim, you're given two full days to eat it. Over here, you only have today and tonight to eat it. So which one comes first? So here, this one's a tough call. And the Mishnah has a debate. Shlamim shalamish kodman div Reb Meir. So Reb Meir is of the opinion that the shlamim of yesterday is going to come first. In other words, this is by the end of today, this will terminate the end of our opportunity to eat the karban shlamim of day two. And so therefore, the shlamim should come first. That's Reb Meir's shita. V'chachamim omrim, chatzis kodemus mimeshi kachay kadashim. And the Chachamim say no, that if it's day two shlamim versus chatzis and asham of today, chatzis and asham of today are first. One, as I already pointed out, the Mishnah doesn't make this point, but I'll make it. One, it's not the same thing as day one shlamim, where you're going to have a full second day to eat it, but rather you only have today and tonight to consume it. And two, and this is the Mishnah's point, chatzis and asham fall under the category of kachay kedusha, meaning it has more kedusha. So therefore, opt with the chatzis and asham first, and then, if time allows, if your stomach allows, then go for day two shlamim.
Right. I was talking, what's the minimum amount? So if one kohen has a tzayis of that, it means it's done, it's good.
No, in other words, No. There is a mitzvah to eat the karbanos, for sure. There's a mitzvah for the kohanim to eat the karban, for sure. But we're talking about now consuming it so that it, A, in other words, it's a karban, and B, we don't want any left over. Anything left over is nosar.
Ah.
So in other words, in addition to there being a mitzvah to eat it, there's also a consideration, which is that anything left over is going to be nosar, and we'd like to avoid that. So now it's just a question of prioritization. Which one should we focus our attention and whatever room we have in our stomach? So the Gemara now is saying that day two shlamim versus day one shlamim, that's easy. Day two shlamim comes first. Day two shlamim versus chatas v'asham, tough call. Machlokas amongst the tanaim. V'kulan kohanim rasham l'shanas b'achilasam l'achum silim v'shlukim v'vushalim. L'aseh sasocha tavle chulim v'tavle truma divrei Rabbi Shimon. How does a kohen eat his carbon any which way he pleases? In terms of the manner of preparation, you could roast it, cook it, boil it. It doesn't matter, whichever is pleasing to him. In terms of spicing it, that too, says the Mishnah, you can go ahead and you can spice it whichever way you want. And you can even add tavle truma. You can even add spices of truma. Now, on one hand, this is a chiddush, and on the other hand, it's not much of a chiddush. Look, we're talking about the kohanim eating it. Since we're talking about the kohanim eating it, so therefore, they can add truma to it because kohanim can eat truma. But it is a chiddush, because consider, every karban is on the clock. You will either have today, when it comes to chatzos and asham, today or tomorrow, when it comes to shlamim, but in other words, at maximum, you have 2 days to consume it. Truma can be eaten indefinitely, especially spices. Spices made up of truma, you can eat it until it's until it goes bad. Spices don't go bad. So Rabbi Shimon's teaching us that even though by putting spices on the karban, you are now going to be minimizing the amount of time that you're going to be able to eat it, that's okay. And to that, Reb Meir objects. Reb Meir omer lo yiten lasocha tavle truma v'shalo yavi ha'truma l'dei psol. No, don't add spices of truma onto the karban. Because by doing so, you, by definition, are going to be reducing the amount of time that you're going to be able to eat it, and that you're not allowed to do, says Rebbe Meir. The Gemara starts off with a question, which I've been promoting for some time since the beginning of this perek, which admittedly is not that long ago. We started the perek 2 days ago. So, but still, I have been promoting this question. Here's the question. So what if now we have the conflicting values of Tadir versus Kedusha? So which value is going to overrule the other value? Tashma. So once again, now we're going to do what we classically do throughout the Gemara. We're going to cite case scenarios of the Mishnah, and we're going to see whether or not it speaks to which value is greater. So Tashma, the Gemara says, we'll come in here to meet him, Kodim Musafim. You know, the Mishnah says that the Tami comes before the Musaf. Va'afagav de Musafim Kedishi. Now, this is a phenomenal argument of the Gemara. You know, the Musaf that's brought, now let's assume we're talking about Shabbos. Every Shabbos we bring a carbon Musaf. And in lieu of the fact that nowadays we don't have a base of Mikdash, so we daven a Tfilas Musaf. But still, right now we're talking about the carbon. The Musaf that's brought on Shabbos versus the Tami that's brought on Shabbos. Here's right now the way the Gemara is viewing it. The Tami that's brought on Shabbos, that's a regular tamid. Now, it's a carbon. It obviously has kedusha, but it's regular. The musaf that's brought on Shabbos, that's a Shabbos carbon. And what the Gemara now is arguing is that it has more kedusha because it's connected to Shabbos. And so what do you see over here? We have now a competition of values. On one hand, which one is more frequent? Obviously, the tamid. Which one has more kedusha? Here's what the Gemara is arguing right now. The Musaf Shabbos is more Kedusha because it's more connected to Shabbos. That's the argument. The Gemara's counter-argument goes like this. V'afagav de Musafim Kedishi. So the Gemara says, Atu, we're on the top of Tzadi Aleph Amad Aleph. Atu Shabbos Musafim Ahani L'tmidim L'Wahani. So the Gemara says, here's where I'm going to counter-argue. The Tamid that's offered on Shabbos, that's not a weekday Tamid. That's a Shabbos Tamid. Meaning Shabbos not only is infused into the carbon Musaf, Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, also is infused into the Tamid as well. So they both have Shabbos aspects to it, Shabbos elements to it, and so therefore you can no longer say that the Musaf has more Kedusha than the Tamid. They're both Shabbos in nature. Tashma. Musaf Shabbos Kodim LeMusaf Rosh Chodesh. And here now, we're basically going to walk along the same line of argument, where the thought process is that the day is not imbued into the carbon, and then the conclusion is no. The day is imbued into the carbon. So let's say Musaf Shabbos Kodim LeMusaf Rosh Chodesh. Let's say you have a situation in which you have the Musaf of Shabbos and Musaf Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, that's when when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh are overlapping. They're coinciding. That was the better word. That was the word I was looking for, and I just wasn't available. Apparently, everyone appreciates that point. Okay, thank you. So they're coinciding. This month, by the way, we missed it by one day. Okay, but which is fine. Rosh Chodesh came out on a Friday. So, but when they coincide, so now, which of the two come first? So we all know the right answer. Meaning, so Shabbos comes first. Shabbos is more frequent. But what the Gemara now is advocating is that. But wait one second. The Musaf of Rosh Chodesh has more kedusha. Now this is a hard argument, but Rashi helps us make it. The Musaf Rosh Chodesh has more Kedusha because Rosh Chodesh is quasi-yantiv. And as such, as quasi-yantiv, so therefore it is imbued with more Kedusha. That's the argument. So the Gemara says once again, Atu Rosh Chodesh Musafim, Didei Ahani LeMusrei Shabbos Lo Ahani. So once again, the counter-argument is, yeah, but you know what? When you're bringing on Shabbos, so you don't think that the Rosh Chodesh aspect is not infused into the Musaf of Shabbos, of course it's also infused into the Musaf of Shabbos, meaning every carbon that you're bringing that day has an element of Rosh Chodesh in it. So once again, the Gemara just simply says it no longer is one has more Kedusha than the other. They're both on equal par in terms of Kedusha, and consequently it's only just now a question of Tadir. Next, Tashma. Musaf Rosh Chodesh Kodim LeMusaf Rosh Hashanah. Now Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, now here they always coincide. All right, if Rosh Hashanah is a Yantav, and it's also Rosh Chodesh, right? That's just the nature. That's the nature of Rosh Hashanah. So now that they coincide, so now you're going to bring two Musafim. You're going to bring a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and you're going to bring a Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. And by the way, this idea of hiding the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, right? We before every Rosh Chodesh we announce it on Shabbos, Mevarchin Chodesh, and when we get to the Musaf, and we get to Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. So there's no Mevarchin Chodesh, and we don't announce it, right? Bekesel Yom Chagenu. There's this idea, which I can only explain it on any level. The idea of hiding the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, So the Musar Rosh Chodesh Mukodim LaMusar Rosh Hashanah. So which Musar comes first? Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh comes obviously 12 times a year, and the Rosh Hashanah comes one time a year. That's easy. But Al Vagav the Rosh Hashanah Kadsha. So once again, the Gemara is asking the question, well, I don't understand. Doesn't the Musar Rosh Hashanah have more Kedusha as it's connected to the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah? So once again, Al Rosh Hashanah Musar Didei Ahana Musar Rosh Chodesh Shalo Ahane. And then the Gemara deflects with the same deflection. You think that the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah is only infused into the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? It is also infused into the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh as well. And once again, the Gemara just simply deflects and says that they both have an element of Kedushas Rosh Hashanah. Tashma. Davar Achir. Here we get to a classic debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of Kiddush on Friday night. So we know that there's a bracha on Yayin. We also know that there's a bracha on Kedushas Hayom. Right, Mekadosh HaShabbos. Which one do I say first? So we think we know the answer because we do it every Friday night. So we say the Bracha of Yayin, and then we say Kedushas HaYom. So we go in the order of wine and yom. That is Shita's Beis Hillel. We pasken like Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you flip the order around. Now, in terms of the argument, so the Mishnah over there in Pesachim taught us, Birchas HaYayin Tadir, Birchas HaYom, and a Tadir, V'tadir V'shein, Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So the Birchas HaYayin, that we say all the time. You know, we're drinking wine all the time. Now, it happens to be by me. It's not the case. But it doesn't matter. In other words, the nature of wine back in the day was that it was drunk on a daily basis. So the wine is Tadir. The Kiddush of Tayyam of Kiddush Shabbos is Eino Tadir. Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodim. Now, Afagav de Birchas HaYayin Kiddisha. Now, if we're going to say the Bracha on wine versus Kiddush Shabbos, Kiddush HaYayin, which one has more Kiddusha? So what the Gemara now is advocating, is arguing, is that Kiddush Shabbos, obviously, Kiddush HaSayom, obviously has more Kiddusha than the Birchas HaYayin. Birchas HaYayin is the Birchas HaNenin. It's not a Bircha on Kiddusha. So again, that's the argument, but the counter-argument, you're going to see it coming. Atu Shabbos HaBirchas HaYayin, Mahan LaBirchas HaYayin LaMahane. So once again, the Gemara says, when we're making the Bor Priya Gafen for Kiddush on Shabbos, you think it's just a Bor Priya Gafen? The Kiddush HaSayom now is infused into that Bracha. That's not wine you're drinking on Friday night. That's wine associated with Kiddush. So therefore, the Kedusha not only is going on the bracha of Kiddush Hayom, but it's also going on the wine as well.
Yeah, but the machlokes there it doesn't mention Todir
V'Sheino. That's not.
Shabbos causes the wine to be drunk.
There are two arguments over there in the Mishnah. One of the arguments, go back to the Mishnah. The Gemara here just quotes it. It's Todir. Yeah. Tashma, the Amr of Yochanan. So we have a scenario in which the Baal Shachris is really, really, he's enjoying himself. And he's going on. And by the time we get to Musaf, so it's already now the afternoon. Okay, Lamaisa, I know. Most shuls, it doesn't happen. It can happen. And so now you're... No one's happy, but it doesn't matter. Okay, I'm sorry, I just spoke like a gabbai for a moment. Okay, so now you're in the afternoon, and so now obviously you have to daven musaf. It's Shabbos, but at the same time, however, we're in the afternoon, and let's say we're half an hour after chatzos. So now it's tzman mincha. What do we do? So do we daven mincha or do we daven musaf? And what are the rules tell us? Well, the rule tells us tadir v'sheino tadir. Mincha obviously is daily. Musaf is only once a week. So mincha comes before musaf. Strange, but that's a correct conclusion. So mispala adam shel mincha v'achakach shel musafim. So atu Shabbos letfilas musaf mahal letfilas mincha lohani. And again, the counter argument, it's the same counter argument again and again. You think that mincha on Shabbos is just a regular mincha? It's not a regular mincha. Shabbos mincha. Shabbos mincha now, so it says the mincha that we say on Shabbos, kedusha-wise, is the same kedusha as the carbon musaf. So on Kedusha now, they're on par with one another. So therefore, the only thing left to be the determinant is Tadir, Tashma. Shlamim shel emish chatas v'ashim shel yom. Shlamim shel edmish kodmim. So if I have second day shlamim and day one chatas and ashim, so the Mishnah brings down that the chatas and ashim, sorry, the Mishnah brings down the machlokas, but right now we're going to focus on the opinion of Shlamim Shel Emesh Kodmim. So day two Shlamim comes first. Now, Ha'id V'Yom. Now, if they were both day one, Chatas v'admash v'ashem kadme. So in other words, it only seems to be from the Mishnah that the reason why Shlamim, second day Shlamim, is going to be under consideration to come first is because it's day two Shlamim. Because again, by the end of today, it's going to be Nosar. But in other words, if let's say what was competing for our stomachs right now was day one Shlamim and day one Chatas and Hashem come first. Now, v'afagav de Shlamim tadire. Now, which one is more frequent? Now, this one's tricky because we're talking now about voluntary karbanos. Meaning, unlike up until now, we've been discussing things on the schedule, right? Musaf Shabbos, that's a scheduled karban. Musaf Rosh Chodesh, that's a scheduled karban. So here we're talking about just simple frequency, but frequency that is not scheduled frequency. We're just looking basically at statistics. What generally comes more often, karban shlamim or chatas narasham? So what the Gemara now is going to argue is, well, shlamim comes more frequently. The Gemara is making that assumption simply because, meaning, we'll assume that the Jewish people don't sin that often. Okay. And not be required to bring a chatzas nashim that often. And shlamim just simply comes on a more frequent basis. This is what the Gemara now is suggesting. And yet, the chatzas nashim certainly has more kedusha than that of the shlamim. We've established that. So what do we see from the Mishnah? That if it's tadir versus kedusha, it sounds like kedusha is going to win out. Amar Rava masu kamar tadir kamibaylan. Matzilo kamei bailan. So Rava here says, look, if we're talking about tadir v'sheino tadir, we're talking about scheduled tadir v'sheino tadir. Shlamim versus chatas v'ashim, you're talking about matzui. Here it's just a question of occurrence. But not because they're scheduled, we're just talking about which happens to come to the Beis HaMikdash on a more regular basis. But that's not our discussion. Our discussion is tadirus, scheduled events. Like Musaf of Shabbos, like Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Amalei Ravuna bar Yehuda l'Rava atu matzu lav tadir v'atanya. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following brisa? Otzias haPesach sheino tadir v'lo otzias hamila shehi tadira. Now, the brisa throwing us in the middle of a discussion is discussing the following. We are discussing over here, this is Torah's Kohanim, says Rashi, and the question over here is, let's say you didn't bring the carbon Pesach, let's say you didn't do a mila. Do you have to bring a carbon chatas? Why would that even be consideration? Because we know that Pesach and Milah are the two mitzvah seseh, the two positive commandments of the Torah, in which failure to perform them will result in kares. And we know that for the lavim in the Torah, the negative prohibition of the Torah, if I don't do an iser kares, so you bring a carbon chatas. So maybe over here for Pesach and Milah, for failure to do them, you bring a carbon chatas. That's a consideration. So the Gemara says, well, Otzias HaPesach, I'll exclude Karban Pesach. It doesn't come up that often. However, I won't exclude Mila. Mila comes up all the time. Now, when we say Mila comes up all the time, is that scheduled? Or is that just simply a frequency issue? So that's a tough call. Meaning, right. The Gemara's point over here could really be, you know, dissected in many different angles. But the idea of the Gemara is, look, by Mila, you know, for each individual, obviously, it's a one-time opportunity. Right, it's a one-time event. If we're talking about a population, obviously, it's all the time. So what the Gemara here is assuming is that Mila versus Pesach, Mila is much more frequent. And again, it's certainly not a scheduled frequency. It just simply means it happens more often. So the Gemara says, "My tadir, tadir b'mitzvos." So the Gemara says, "Well, look. One way we could say it is that when we say tadir, we just simply mean that you get more checks when you do the mitzvah of milah. How many checks do you get when you do the mitzvah of milah? Now, and I say checks, by the way, it's not like I can really quantify what a check is. But in other words, but we know that milah has yud gimel krisos, that there are 13 covenants that are made over the mitzvah of milah, right? The Mishnah Nedarim. So as a result of that." So we could say that Mila has more frequency in that you simply have more checks by the mitzvah of Mila. That's one way to say it. Another way to say it says the Gemara Ibais Ema, Mila Lagabe Pesach Kidadir Tadir Damian. Also, we could just speak about a relative basis. Relatively speaking, when we're comparing Mila and Pesach, Pesach is one time a year. Mila, right, there's a Mila, there's another Mila, there's another Mila. So when putting those two side by side, we can say comfortably that just Mila is more Tadir, it's more frequent than that of Karban Pesach. But in our discussion, we're comparing a Karban Shlamim to a Karban Chatas. There, it's not as easy and it's not as straightforward to gauge. Hey, Shlamim is just more available and more frequent than that of the Chatas and Hashem. It's just harder to gauge in that manner. Ibailahu. Tadir v'sheinu tadir v'kadim v'shachal v'sheinu tadir mayim. So let's say I have Tadir versus Eino Tadir, and then what happened is I shachta the Eino Tadir. What do I do? So me, I'm in a kevin to shachta makriv leo dilma yayiv la'acher dememaritz bedamo ad the makriv leila tadir v'had the makriv l'sheinu tadir. Okay, a question on the table goes like this. There was a clear order of operations. There was a Tadir and there was an Eino Tadir. And I clearly should have favored, I should have gone with the Tadir first. Fine. And then what happened is that me, the Kohen, so wasn't perfectly thinking. I wasn't thinking so clearly. And I went to the Eino Tadir and I shechted the Eino Tadir. Okay, so I didn't correct. So here now I have one of two options and the Gemara wants to know which is the better option. Should I now, in other words, I have blood in the bowl. So should I now follow through and finish the Eino Tadir and finish the Avodah of the Eino Tadir and then go back to the Tadir, or should I at this point in time say, look, just because I went out of order right now doesn't mean that I should finish number two. What we should do is I should give number two to somebody else, to another Kohen, and say, look, I made a mistake. Here, take the bowl, take the blood, take the stirrer, and stir. And basically, let's put this on hold. Let me go back to number one. Let me do number one, and then I'll go back to number two. So basically, the question on the table is, when I go out of order, so do I conclude with number two and then go back to number one? Or, in other words, the number one priority is so strong that I should pause in the middle of number two, go back to number one, start and finish number one, and then and only then go back to number two. That's the question on the table. I'm Rav Huna Misurya Tashma. So once again, let's turn to our Mishnah and let's see if this can be teased out from the Mishnah. Shalom shalamish chatas v'ashem shal yom. Shal emish kodem l'shal yom. So, if I have shlamim, day two shlamim, and day one chatzis and asham. And now I keep saying day one chatzis and asham. You understand, that's by definition. There's only one day to eat it. So I'm just contrasting. So I have day two shlamim and day one chatzis and asham. So shel emesh kodin l'shel yom. So day two shlamim comes before day one chatzis and asham. Ha di yom dumya de emesh. Now here the Gemara teases out from the Mishnah the following. Let's say that I have day one shlamim, but it's like day two. What does that mean? Hey chidami, how do we have such an event? Meaning, if it's day one, it's day one. How can day one be like day two? So the Gemara says, well, maybe this is what we could tease out of the Mishnah. And we are teasing it out of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah is not saying this, but we can, you know, try to extract it. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it went like this. I had a chatas and asham, a chatas or an asham. Let's just keep it to a chatas. Just keep it simple. Let's say I have a chatas versus a shlamim. And obviously, order of operations demand chatas comes in front of shlamim. Chatas has more kedusha. We've learned this together. Now, what happened was is that the Kohen now did the shlamim first. He shechted the shlamim first by mistake. And so now, isn't the Mishnah now saying, now the Mishnah's not saying this, we're teasing it out of the Mishnah, but isn't the Mishnah now saying that even though it's now Shlamim, now it's kind of like day two, okay, it's kind of like, it's a real stretch from the Mishnah, but it's kind of like day two, isn't the Mishnah saying now that under these circumstances, even though I now have the Shlamim, which is Shechted, so and right now I have two options, finish the Shlamim or pause and go to the Chatzis and Asham. And isn't the Mishnah saying, or at least implying, that we should run to the Chatzis and Asham? So the Gemara says no. Dilma shlamim de emesh v'chatzis v'asham d'yom hechim ishkachala d'shachtin l'tarvayu. So the Gemara says no. Maybe what the Mishnah here is describing is a scenario in which I shechted both. Aval lo shachtin l'tarvayu t'ibayilach. But if I didn't shecht both, I only shechted one, so the question is still on the table, and the Mishnah is not discussing that, and we therefore cannot conclude from the Mishnah what would be if I shecht the number two, should I pause and go to number one, or should I finish number two? And the Gemara says, from the Mishnah, it's undetermined. Tashma. Once again, we go back to the Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel discussion of wine, making a bracha on wine. Now, hachanam b'tekem da'asen keman d'shachte tarvai dami. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Once Friday night comes about, and the wine is presented to you, it's as if they are, it's comparable to the two animals being shechted. And so therefore, it is now open, it's more comparable to the discussion of not one animal being shechted versus the other animal not being shechted, but it's more comparable to both animals being shechted. And once again, it doesn't speak to our question. Tashma Adam Rav Yochanan Alacha Mispalatim Shomincha Vachakach Shomusafim Hachinami Kevin Dematan Zman Tfila Minchas Kamanda Shechdi Tarver Dami. Again, the Gemara turned to the Musaf Mincha conundrum, where it's the afternoon. You haven't daven Musaf yet. What do you do? So we do Mincha before Musaf. Now, again, the Gemara is trying to compare this to I shechted number two and one was unshechted. And the Gemara says, no. If we're going to make a comparison in the afternoon and I haven't daven Musaf yet, it's comparable to having both animals shechted. And then it's the question of which one do I tend to first, and then Tadu Vishenu Tadu. Amalei Rav Achibre de Rav Ashler Ravina Shachtu Kodem Chatzos Pasul Mimneshin Nem Rabo Bein Arbayim. If let's say I shachtu my Karm Pesach in any time in the morning on Erev Pesach, no good. Torah says Bein Arbayim. Kodem L'Tamid Kasher. Now let's say I shachted the Pesach before the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. A couple of days ago we reminded each other that the rule is all Karbanos are done in the afternoon before the Bein Arbayim except for the Karm Pesach. Karm Pesach is done after the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, which is why the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim on Erev Pesach is backed up to the early afternoon. Good. What if I shechted the Pesach before the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim? It's not a deal breaker. The Pesach still works. However, what should you do? Yehi mamariz bedamo achi yizor kadam. So but the Mishnah teaches us that what you do with the Karm Pesach is you put it on hold, meaning that you take out the stir the blood of the Karm Pesach, wait until the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim is shechted and offered, and then offer your Karm Pesach blood. Oh, so what did we just learn together? We put it on hold. So hacha b'maiskin k'gon dekadim shechtu l'tamid b'reisha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a scenario in which you shechted the Karm Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. So in other words, both animals are shechted. And therefore, once again, it doesn't speak to our question. Amle revacha sabla revashi masnitsa namideka dekani achi yizrok hadam. And it's clear from the Mishnah that we're talking only about a scenario where the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim was already shechted. Because the Mishnah over there just talks about Zrikas Dam, does not mention wait until it's shechted and then the blood is offered. Okay. We already saw this earlier in the Masechta, it's the second time we're seeing this. Kohanim can prepare the carbon and eat in any which way they please. The Torah says, Limashcha, and Parshas Korach. And from there we learn out together that the Kohanim eat it in a state of gedula, royalty, and dignity. And they eat it in a manner in which they enjoy.
What happened to the concept, the bottom line of the last concept?
Sorry. Unclear. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the last Mishnah of the 10th parak of the Masechta. Amar Rabbi Shimon. This is a very nice way to present information in the Mishnah. Over here, Rabbi Shimon says, what if you spot oil in the Azara? Who's the culprit? Where's that oil coming from? Right?
What kind of oil are we talking about? In a jug or on a Mizbeah?
Okay. And, hold your question. Okay, then we're going to discuss it. And let's say you see wine in the Azara. What's the culprit for that as well? I'm Rabbi Shimon. Let's say you see oil in the Azara, so it's in the temple courtyard, and it's being distributed amongst the Kohanim. Well, that's strange. Where's that coming from? So, you don't have to ask, meaning, I'm going to tell you where it could possibly come from. Two possible sources. So, it could be coming from the Rikikim of Minchas Yisrael. Now, it says Minchas Yisrael as opposed to Minchas Kohen. We know we've said many times. The mincha offered by a Kohen is kulo taktar. It's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. The mincha of Yisrael, only the kmitza is burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. The rest of it is consumed by the Kohanim. So, rikikim. Rikikim are thin wafers. They don't absorb all the oil. And so, therefore, you put the oil on them, but they don't absorb all the oil. So, there's going to be excess oil. The consumers of that oil are the Kohanim. So, you see oil being distributed in the Azara. So one candidate is it's coming from the Rikikim. And another one is Lo Shemesh HaMetzara, or we had a Metzara come today to the Beis HaMikdash to get his purification process. So we know that a Lo Shemen for the Metzara is put together. It is then poured into the palm of the hand of the Kohen. The Kohen does an application on the Metzara. We've said this so many times in our Masechta, on the right ear, right thumb, and right toe of the Metzara. And that is only just the application. What is done with the rest of the oil? Divided amongst the Kohanim, consumed on the Kohanim. So they will be eating in the Beis HaMikdash a salad with oil, the oil of the Metzara. Now, Imras is Shemen Shu Nitin Agabe Ha'ishim. Rabbi Shimon says, now let's say you're in the Azara and you happen to see oil being burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Shimon says, and once again, I'll tell you where your candidates are. Ein Tzarich Lishol Ma'u, Elam Mozer Rikike Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, She'en Meznad Vin Shemen. So it's either coming from Rikikim of Minchas Kohanim. So in other words, our wafer Minachos, but here, if being brought by a Kohen. As we already pointed out, a Mincha of a Kohen is totally burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. So even though there's going to be excess oil on this particular Mincha, but being that's part of the Minchas Kohen, it goes on the Mizbeach. Also, Minchas Kohen Mashiach. The Kohen Gadol offers a Mincha, and that too has excess oil. That is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and that's your other candidate. What about somebody who just donates oil in itself to be offered on the Mizbeach? Rabbi Shimon will say that's not a candidate. Why? Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso, ein miznad vin shemen. Rabbi Shimon, second time we saw this in our Masechta, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that oil cannot come as a carbon in of itself. It can come as nesachim to a carbon, but it cannot come as a carbon in of itself. And Rabbi Tafan omen miznad vin shemen, Rabbi Tafan disagrees and he says no, oil can become in of itself. Meaning a person, if he would like to donate just oil as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, offered on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Tarfon said it can be done. Now, Amar Shmuel, here's a point that we also already made earlier in the Masechta. Let's say it again. L'divrei Rabbi Tarfon, Masnad Vev Shemen Kom Tzov V'Shirav Ne'echalim. Now, pragmatically, this is really challenging. But just like by a mincha, what a Kohen does with a mincha of a Yisrael is takes his hand, puts it into the mincha, takes out a kamitza, a fistful, and burns that on the top of the mizbeach, says Shmuel, according to the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, that oil can be offered as its own independent offering. So you're going to do the same thing. The Kohen is going to take a kamitza of the oil, right? Visualize together with me, putting his hand into the oil, taking a fistful of the oil, and put it on the top of the mizbeach. Now it is a liquid, it's not a solid. And the oil is not going to stay in his hands. It's, you know, it is thick, and it's certainly going to get some of the oil stuck to his hand. So admittedly, from a pragmatic standpoint, this is challenging. Exactly how this is done with oil, not perfectly clear.
Why don't they use klishar to give kiddush?
Okay, fine. Maybe that could be it. But in other words, but kamitza is done. And the remainder is eaten on the... The remainder is consumed by the Kohanim. Now, my time, Amakar Karban Mincha, Malamishim is not even Shemen. So, where's the source of this in the Torah? That oil could be offered on its own? So, Karban Mincha, the word Karban, says Rashi, is extraneous in the context of the Pasuk. And that comes to tell me that not only is your Mincha, your standard Mincha, as described in the Torah, but even oil could be offered, but it's going to have the same characteristics as a Mincha, which means a Kemitza and Shiraim. So characteristically, it's going to be treated like a mincha. So I'm Rabbi Zera Afanamitanina, and Rabbi Zera says, look, you know, if you read the Mishnah, you're actually going to see this in the Mishnah, because I'm Rabbi Shimon Imri, it's Hashem Hashem Eschalach Ba'azara, because remember back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, oil being distributed in the Azara. Rabbi Shimon says, well, look, oil cannot come as a nedava. That's Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's the implication of the Mishnah? Michlal, demandam miznadvim mechalek. Meaning, if you were to argue with Rabbi Shimon's position, which, by the way, Rabbi Tarfon does, if you were to argue with Rabbi Shimon's position, that would mean that this too would be a distribution amongst the Kohanim. Okay, good. Amalei Abaye Masefa. So Abaye says, wait 1 second. Slow down. Go to the next part of the Mishnah. Imar yisra shemesh initan agabe ishin yata tzarech lishol mahu elamos rikike minchas kohanim and minchas kohen mashiach she'em is nad vin shemen. Well, and the Mishnah talks about what if you find oil being brought on top of the Mizbeach? What is that oil? And I'll tell you what it is, I'll tell you what it isn't. It's either part of the minchas rikikim minchas kohen, or the mincha of the kohen gadol. But I'll tell you what it's not. It's not shemen, because the shemen is not donated according to Rabbi Shimon. Now mechlad lamanda armim is nadiv kol alishin. Now the implication over there is that if oil is donated, the oil in its entirety is going up onto the mizbeach. So labai kasha reishal Rabbi Zera kasha seifa. So now there are conflicting inferences from the Mishnah. Is oil when donated, meaning again, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't entertain it altogether because he holds that oil cannot be donated in of itself. But if you are the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, and oil could be donated, where is the destination of that oil? Is it mincha-like, where a kometz goes on the mizbech and the rest is divided and distributed amongst the kohanim? Or is the entirety of the oil going to go onto the mizbech? From the Mishnah, there are somewhat competing inferences. Now, Bishlam, Rabbi Zera, Reisha, Bishurim, Sefer, Bekometz. Now, according to Rabbi Zera, actually, I got it. In other words, Mishnah actually works out good. Because one inference in the Mishnah goes up on the Mizbeach. A second inference in the Mishnah is that it's seen by the Kohanim. And if you're Rabbi Zera, you're happy with actually both inferences. What? They're both correct. Part of it, just give me a second, part of it goes on the Mizbeach, part of it is seen by the Kohanim. So that's good. But El Abaye Kasha, but according to Abaye, who says that the entirety of the oil goes on the Mizbeach, so the second inference in the Mishnah is fine, the first inference in the Mishnah is not fine. So the Gemara says, Tan Reisha Tu Seifa. So the Gemara says, well, no. The Reisha just sets us up for the Seifa. Now the Gemara says, now in terms of a stylistic point of the Mishnah, in terms of how Mishnayos are structured, Bishlam Seifa Tanimishim Reisha, the Gemara says, well, I certainly understand from a stylistic standpoint of the Mishnah, structurally, if the Mishnah wants to make a point in the beginning, and then make a symmetrical point at the end, so we find that all the time. But Ela Resha Mishum Sefa Mitzini, so the Gemara says, but stylistically, structurally, a Mishnah is there to make its second point, and we'll set it up with a first point, even though the inference there is not to be determined, and it's only there setting it up for the second point, the Gemara says, Amrei B'marava Tana Resha Mishum Sefa. In Eretz Yisrael, they said that stylistically, that is acceptable. That it's for sure totally acceptable for the Mishnah to make point number one. And point number two is just there as a contrast, as a point of symmetry for point number one. But the opposite is also true. That sometimes the Mishnah is there to make its point in point number two, in the second half of the Mishnah. And number one is just simply a setup. That's perfectly acceptable within the structure of Mishnayos. Okay, let's quickly recap our day today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow with wine. Let me just recap, and then I'll pause. We started off with the Mishnah today of the chatz is coming in front of Asham, just general rules regarding the carbon Asham, and then consumption. There is also prioritization in terms of consumption. So that which has more tadiris, that which has more kedusha, is going to be consumed first. There are some of them which are a tough call. In other words, second day shlamim versus first day shlamim, that's an easy call. Second day shlamim versus chatas, that's a tough call. The Mishnah had a debate on that issue. The Gemara's discussion for the first half of today's daf was, what happens when I have a head-to-head collision between the value of Tadir and the value of Kedusha? Which one of them is going to win? We tried to look in cases in the Mishnah, and we have not successfully found a case in the Mishnah where we find that there was a real competition between Kedusha and Tadir. Because generally speaking, when I have something coming on Shabbos, it's not just Mincha, it's Shabbos Mincha. It's not just Musaf, it's not the Tamei Shel Shachar, it's the Shabbos Tamei Shel Shachar, etc., etc. So really, we had a tough time finding a scenario in which it's a real head-to-head competition between the two. The next mission that we did, Rabbi Shimon and his detective work. If you find oil in the Azara, so being distributed amongst the Kohanim, I'll tell you where the candidates are, the suspects are, of where the oil is coming from. If offered on the Mizbeach, I'll tell you where the candidates are. When oil is off, according to Rabbi Tarfon, it says that oil can be offered in and of itself. Is it treated like a mincha with the kometz and shirayim? So Rabbi Zera in the Gemara said yes, Rabbi Abaye said no. And our Mishnah certainly seems to support the opinion of Abaye. I'm sorry, of Rabbi Zera.